Join us on The Path to Independence, an informative series hosted by Joanna Maxwell that takes a look at the stories of everyday people choosing to live life on their own terms. Hear it at 2gb.com/path to independence.
And now on Nights with Steve Price, Macquarie Media's political editor, Michael Packey.
Yes, at 23 minutes past 10 in Sydney on 2GB, 23 minutes past 9 on 4BC in Brisbane. There's a late-breaking political story in Canberra. Our man's always there, Michael Packey. Hello.
G'day, Steve.
Now, this is a confusing story. We all know that Bob Day has financial trouble within his company. He revealed that he would probably need to step down from the Senate because he's probably going to end up being declared bankrupt. Mm-hmm. He tried to delay that departure. He wanted to vote on the ABCC bills because he feels passionately about people who are building things getting a raw deal from unions. Mm. So he held off. He hoped he'd get a white knight. That's not happened. So today he said he was going. But after that, there's been a late development. What is it?
The late development is that it appears that his election in the first place, in the July election, may have been invalid. So what essentially has happened here is that it appears that the government may have rented office space for Bob Day, but the senator's company may have actually owned the premises he was occupying. So the insinuation seems to be that he was accessing taxpayer funds to pay for office space he already owns. But what I understand is that Senator Day is denying this, saying that he never received any rental income from the government. But regardless of all of that, both the government and Labor have asked the High Court to rule on this matter. And if it finds against the senator, then his election may be declared invalid.
Well, another of the senators, David Lionhelm, tried to explain it to Andrew Bolt and I earlier tonight. If I get David Lionhelm's explanation correct, Bob Day owned the building.
Yep.
He didn't want to move out when he was re-elected to the Senate.
Yep.
He wanted to have his electorate office there. So he decided he would sell the building to a mate and then rent the office back off him so he didn't have to move.
That's right.
The sale documents and details have not gone through. The sale hasn't either eventuated or the paperwork hasn't been done. No rent has been paid to this new bloke who owns the building because the sale hasn't been finalised, and this is where Bob Day says the problem's arisen.
That's exactly
does that make
right.
sense?
That's exactly right. That does make sense, and that's where Bob Day does say the problem has arisen. But regardless of that, the government still believes that it needs the High Court to actually decide what's gone on. And if there's any discrepancy in the story that you've been given from David Lionhelm, and I believe David Lionhelm has spoken to Bob Day earlier today about this whole situation. The problem arises, though, for the government is that Bob Day has been a close supporter of much of the government's legislation. He's voted on, I think, most government bills in the time that he's been in Parliament. It's if the High Court finds that his election was invalid. That's where it starts becoming a bit of a problem because it's going to be a recount of the South Australian Senate vote. There won't be that much difference for the first 11 senators, but it's the 12th senator. We've got to remember that Senator Bob Day only scraped in on July the 2nd, and he became the 12th South Australian senator. So you'd assume that it would go to the next person, and that could be either a Labor candidate or it could be a One Nation candidate.
Well, I spoke to Pauline Hanson an hour ago.
Yep.
She's been across these numbers because clearly she campaigned in each state.
Yes.
She believes, and she was speaking to me from Charleville tonight, she believes on rechecking her numbers that if this was a recount,
yep,
then her One Nation would claim that 12th spot,
yep,
in South Australia,
because
not Labor.
They got the primaries.
Not Labor, because they got the primaries. She,
yep,
is confident that if there was a recount, that she would end up with not four senators in the Australian Parliament, but five.
That would be amazing for her, and it would be interesting to see the way the government would also then have to negotiate with her and that Senevon bloc, but definitely with her. Again, she's been supporting a lot of the government's legislation.
Do you know what her attitude to the ABCC bills are?
Well, this is interesting. This is actually quite interesting because my understanding is it took her and the party quite some time to come around to, I think, supporting the government's ABCC bill. But now already we're starting to see a little bit of a fracture within One Nation on this issue. I think there's one One Nation.
Oh, there's this Culleton bloke.
Culleton.
Yeah.
That's it. I think he's not too keen now. There's also some suggestion. And this is something that I do have to check up on, that Culleton, the One Nation senator, and even I think maybe One Nation itself as a broader party, has received funding from the unions.
I think you're right. I mean, that's striking a memory with me that the ETU certainly put money into the Greens.
Yep.
I don't know if we're confusing the Greens and One Nation here, so we need to be a bit careful
that's
before
exactly
we suggest
right.
they
and
did take union
I would
money.
Have to check, but my understanding is that some union money has gone to One Nation, which is why I think that people like Rob Culleton are starting to waver as to whether or not he'll support this bill, even though Pauline Hanson has come out previously indicating that she would support and the party would support the passage of the One Nation bill. And by the way, I should say that while this whole situation with Family First and Bob Day is happening, all it does, it simply reduces the numbers in the Senate to 75 rather than 76. So for the government, instead of having to find 9 independent votes to get any legislation over the line if Labor and the Greens don't back the government's policies, it only has to find 8.
So it's not as bad as everyone thinks.
No,
so they could rush this back in when they, well, not rush, they could put this bill back in there where they intended.
Yep.
As soon as the House resumes on Monday week.
That's right.
And it's a bit easier to slip it through.
That's right. And look, they may not do ABCC at the moment, but they definitely might do other policies like the paid parental leave scheme, because they might feel as though that they might get those 8 senators that they need to get something like that over the line. That's the, you know, stopping the double dipping. ABCC, I think there's going to have to be a little bit more negotiation on that. And I think that one thing that they will have to do, the government will have to do, they'll have to firm up that One Nation vote and find out exactly what One Nation plans to do when it comes to restoring the Building and Construction Commission.
This is all not going to happen too quickly, you wouldn't have thought. I mean, the High Court doesn't do anything that quickly, does it? So is the High Court going to suddenly convene and sort this out quickly?
No, they're hoping. It's hoping that the High Court will have it sorted out by the end of the year. So when 2017, the parliamentary year kicks off in 2017, that things would have been sorted out.
So the Senate will sit minus one senator
right.
for the rest of the year.
That's the way it would appear, yes. Absolutely. That the Senate will sit minus one senator. That means there'll be 75 members of the Senate, of which then the government needs to secure the votes of 8 of those independents rather than 9.
Fascinating stuff. Michael, as usual, thank you. Thanks for staying up late to talk to us about
it. No problems. Good on you, Steve.
Michael Packey there, and he makes a very good point, a very sensible point, that actually that's better for the government, not worse. But for Pauline Hanson, she's sitting now on the edge of having 5 senators in the Australian Parliament. She's lining up to put candidates into the Western Australian state government election. She really is going to be one very powerful woman in Australia if she's not already.
Get your business off to a fast start in 2017. Advertise over summer with Macquarie Radio. Register now at faststart2017.com.au to unlock business insights from Ross Greenwood. Plus, receive a further 25% discount if you take up the offer. Visit faststart2017.com.au.